I think I got this. Okay. Well, we're going to invite him in. I don't want to prolong the time anymore. Let's turn to 31. We'll just sing that chorus. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Thank God for sending us the message in this hour so we would be able to find where that light was. And now it's clearer than day.
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Oh, come where the dew drops of mercy.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Let's worship Him now.
Oh, shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, the light of...
Oh, let's raise our hands together. Let's invite the presence of the Lord down as Brother Stephen comes.
Oh, we're walking in the light, such a beauty.
That song, I thought of 1 John 1, where
yes,
it says,
Lord.
This then is the message which you have heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
That's the truth.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
And, this is the key, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So it ain't just good enough to have the blood. You also got to be walking in the light.
In the light.
If you're, Brother Branham said, what is the light? The vindicated word of that day.
Yes.
So as long as you're walking in the light of that day, then the blood of Jesus Christ purges you from all sin.
Amen.
If you're not in the light of that day, but walking in the glare of another day, then the blood's not there to purge you of your sins.
That's right.
During Luther's day, when you were walking at night, the light of Luther's day, the blood purged all sin. But when the light moved on, if you stayed in Luther's day,
that's it.
You wouldn't be purged of your sin no more.
That's
you
right.
You had to keep walking in the light as he is in the light. And
yes,
as we
Lord
keep
Jesus.
Walking in that light, the blood of Jesus Christ
Hallelujah.
Will still purge all sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen. Amen.
I'm not preaching on that. I'm going to preach on something else. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and open up to Acts 17. I'm just going to do a little Sunday school.
It's all right,
this
bro.
Really inspired me, this little passage in Acts 17, when Paul was on Mars Hill, has always been really special to me, and I always thought one day I'd preach something out of it, and today's that day. So
Amen.
We're going to go ahead and preach a message called The Unknown God. We're going to start in Acts 17, and we're going to read verse 22 to 30 by His grace. The scripture reads, Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything.
Right.
Oh my. See, he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitations. He did it all, amen?
Amen.
That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Watch what he says. How is he not far from every one of us? Amen. For in him we live and move and have our being.
That's right.
As certain also your own poets. So he's even quoting. We'll get into a little bit. Let's read this. As your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Right.
For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device, like doctrine and stuff. We'll get into that. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to hear thy word, Lord, to be in the presence and the fellowship of the saints of God.
Yes.
Father God, we just pray, God, you would use the words that we have spoken today, Lord. Take this scripture, God, and just make it real to us, Father.
Yes, Father.
We want to commit ourselves into your hands, Father. We commit it all to you now in Jesus Christ's name. And his bride said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Like I said, I'm going to do just a little Sunday school. It's called The Unknown God.
Amen, brother.
Who loves the Lord today?
Amen.
As I read this scripture, I actually find a lot of people still stuck in this situation today. They are too superstitious. Let's just go. I'm just going to read Acts 17 again, verse 22 to 23, just real quick. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And just to preface this a little bit, what happened was Paul was in... he actually went to a couple places. First he went to Thessalonica, then he went to Berea, where they actually said they were more honorable than Thessalonica
because
they were willing to search the scriptures to prove whether what Paul was saying was actually right.
Amen.
And he would go into the synagogues and so forth, as the Bible says, as was his custom and so forth. And then Paul ended up in Athens. He was actually sent. He left a couple of his brethren back, I think in Berea, and he went on to Athens. And he went and walked in Athens. And the Bible says that he moved because he saw his spirit stirred within himself, because the whole city was given in idolatry.
Right.
And I find a lot of people that I walk into, people that I meet on the street, I find themselves given wholly to idolatry.
Yes, sir.
And it's not even people on the streets. I find a lot more people end up in churches
right.
who are given wholly to idolatry.
Yes.
And we find out here that Paul comes up to these people, and actually, you know, in Athens in that time in Greece and stuff, they had a lot of philosophically people, you know, smarts.
Right.
People who had these things, and they wanted to hear what Paul had to say.
Sure.
And Paul comes by and says, you're too superstitious. You're too superstitious. Why? He said he walked by and he saw he had an altar to the unknown God. See, what the Athens were doing is that they knew there had to be something, but they were coming up and trying to figure something out.
Right.
They were trying to figure it out.
Right.
And he says, this unknown God, I'm going to declare him unto you now. And what we find is that a lot of churches, people have a perception of God.
Right.
They have a thing that, and we're just going to focus on that today. It's my Sunday school. About they try to make God a Trinity.
Yes.
They try to make God three persons. They have a perception of him. They have an idea. They have a superstition.
Yes,
which
sir.
I'll prove to you in a minute. It is a superstition.
Right.
I want to read a little couple quotes I found on the Trinity. I actually found Trinitarians, people who teach this Trinitarian doctrine, what they say about it. What they say about their own doctrine.
Yeah.
There was a man named Dr. J. Allen Miller. I think he lived in the early 1900s. He said, the Christian doctrine of Trinity is a great mystery. One indeed which baffles explanation. So where do we start now? If it's going to baffle any explanation, we can't even explain it. Where do we start in this thinking? Sounds like a superstition.
Sure
does. But watch. It is nevertheless, he said, distinctly taught in the scriptures and all universally accepted by Christians. I found this encyclopedia. It's called Wikipedia. I guess it's on the internet. They said the New Testament does not have an explicit doctrine of the Trinity. What? How can they talk about this then? However, Southern Baptist theologian Frank Stagg emphasizes that the New Testament does not repeatedly speak of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to compel a Trinitarian understanding of God. Again, Wikipedia said, personhood and the Trinity does not match the common Western understanding of person as used in the English language. So what does that mean? They made it up.
Right.
They just made up their own word then now. This is what they're saying about their own doctrine.
Right.
It does not imply an individual self-actualizing center of free will and conscious activity. Again, that same encyclopedia says the New Testament does not use the word Trinity in Greek, nor explicitly teaches it.
Nope. That's right.
International Standard Bible Dictionary. This is a long one, but this is all good. This amazes me that they could even say this stuff and still want to believe it. The term Trinity is not a biblical term. And we are not using biblical language when we define what is expressed as the doctrine that there is only one and true God. But in the unity of the Godhead, that there are three co-eternal, co-equal persons, the same substance but distinct in substance. I can't even read this stuff. The same in substance, but distinct in subsistence. Oh my. So what they were saying was, you're not using biblical language now when you are defining the Trinity.
That's
when
right.
You actually have to define it, you're not using biblical terms to define it now.
Right.
That's what he's saying. A doctrine so defined can be spoken of as a biblical doctrine only on the principle that the sense of Scripture is Scripture. Who knows what they're talking about? And the definition of a biblical doctrine in such biblical language can be justified only on the principle that it's better to presume the truth of Scripture than the words of Scripture. So what they're saying is that to define this, we're coming up with what it's meaning.
Right.
And that's what's defining it. He's saying it's better to presume the truth of what we're guessing what it is rather than what the word actually saying. That's what he's saying they're doing. Watch this. Doctrine of Trinity, let's see here. We're just going to skip that. There's another part. It talks about how it's a purely revealed doctrine. In point of fact, the doctrine of the Trinity is purely a revealed doctrine. Purely. I mean, no thinking. He's going to tell you, don't think. That is to say, it embodies a truth which has never been discovered and is indiscoverable by natural reason. So now what you have to do is stop thinking, stop using your brain. I'm sorry, Dad, Mama, tell him anyways. Dad told me a story one time, he was working with a guy on an electrical thing or something, and he's like, well, I'm going to do this and this and this. And Dad looked at him and said, you a brain man out of wood? Why in the world would you do that? And did you realize to believe this Trinity doctrine, your brain's made out of wood? You do not think anymore when you actually believe this. And that's what they're saying.
Right.
Let's go to another part. I'm going to try to skip this part real quick now. No rational proof of it. He says, as the doctrine of the Trinity is indiscoverable by reason, so it is incapable of proof from reason. So you can't even prove it by thinking. That's what he said. You can't even prove the Trinity. Now, this ain't, Brother Branham, this ain't me saying this, somebody who don't believe it. This ain't anybody. This is actually somebody who believes the Trinity is saying you don't reason, you don't even think, you don't use any proof. There's no proof of this at all. And yet they still believe it. Wow. Now, doesn't that sound strange?
Sure.
I'm going to go into what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said in chapter 1 of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, I admit that it takes a real revelation from the Holy Ghost to see the truth about the Godhead these days.
Yes, sir.
Why? When we are in the midst of the perverting of so much Scripture.
Yes, sir.
But the prevailing, overcoming church is built on revelation.
Jesus, thank you,
so Lord. We can expect God to reveal His truth to us.
Amen.
This sounds a lot different than the Trinitarian people.
Amen.
Trinitarian people are going to tell you, listen, it's just not. There's no proof to it. There's no reason. You just accept it, and that's what it is. You accept it purely by faith. But Brother Branham said, because we're built, amen, we're built on revelation,
right.
We can expect God to show us who He is now. Oh my, praise God.
That's good.
We can expect it now.
Right?
The Uniting Time Messiah, 63. Friends, we're right at the time of the end. Oh my, the hour we're living in. Notice, what a day. What a time that we're living. This great mystery of God being finished, bringing in the Godhead, showing what it is.
Amen.
So this is a lot different than Trinitarian. He's saying, we're going to understand what this means, amen.
Amen.
Right. We're going to understand what this Godhead is and how God is God.
Amen.
What it is, what His substance is, what it is, and everything like that. We don't have to just kind of make up words and guess. He's going to prove it, amen.
Amen.
We don't have to guess. We'll have the evidences of it. Oh my.
Hallelujah.
We can expect that from a God. Amen. Why? Because we're built on that revelation.
Amen.
Oh my.
That's
what Brother Graham said, we're not just built on Jesus Christ.
Come on.
Could you imagine a man of God saying like that? That the church in Matthew 17,
yes,
when it talks about, Matthew 16, I'm sorry, that the church is built. He said the Catholics say it was Peter.
Right.
He said the Protestants say it's Jesus. He said it's neither.
Amen.
Could you imagine Jesus didn't even build His church on Himself? Of what He thought.
Right.
Of His human body and everything like that. He said the church is built on what? Revelation.
Amen.
Of what? Who He is.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily Him, but how He is. His substance.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get into it. Boy, Lord, that is good. Praise God. We're getting into it. I want you to keep that in your thought, though. We're going to understand his substance.
Yes.
We're going to understand his substance.
Right.
Let's keep reading this quote real quick. I don't want to jump too far ahead of myself. Continuing that quote. How these little isms went off and made him this, and somebody made him this. Somebody made him a trinity. Somebody made him oneness. I mean, my goodness, we're not oneness either now.
Well, sir.
You understand that?
Well, sir.
Oneness actually teach.
Yep, come on.
That, I even heard somebody say, I read it somewhere, where Jesus and Matthew, when he's baptized.
Yep.
And the voice comes down from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." They actually say that what happens, since they're oneness, that Jesus was actually a ventriloquist.
Right.
It's hard to say without grinning. He was a ventriloquist. I read this.
Yes.
And he threw his voice up in the air. And then the voice came down. Well, if you're going to be oneness, you'd have to do that.
Right.
You have to make up stuff now. And if you're a Trinitarian, you have to make a substance. We're going to understand the substance.
Right, brother.
See, well, how do you understand that? How did Jesus pray to himself? I have many people ask me that.
Right.
How did, if Jesus is the Father, how did Jesus pray to himself? You know what? Let's just hold back on that question. We'll answer in a second, all right? I know I'm laying a whole bunch of questions, all right. But Brother Branham said, we're going to understand this.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, how did he pray to himself? How did he do that? How could the Father speak to him and he's on the earth right now if he's the Father? He walked around and said, "I and my Father are one."
That's
and yet
right.
He's talking to the Father.
Right.
But Brother Branham said, we're going to understand it.
That's right.
We're going to understand it. And we'll show you how we're going to understand it in a second.
Jesus,
you all with me now, right?
Amen.
I hope I ain't too boring, all right?
That was good.
Watch this. Continuing that quote, but the angel of the Lord come down and brought up all these isms and pulled out the truth of it and presented it. And there it is, just as perfect as it can be. No other way you could go. There it is. That's what he is. See, serpent seed and all these different things that have been so mysterious among the people. Romans 1, verse 17. We'll go ahead and flip there. We got a little time. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Not because you did something.
That's right.
But from faith to faith. The
Amen.
Righteousness of God is now revealed from faith to faith.
Yes.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen,
My.
Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead.
That's it.
So they are without excuse. So that sounds a lot different. Paul sounds a lot different than these Trinitarians.
Boy.
Because they said you can't rationally prove it, you can't understand it, you can't figure it out. There's no point in trying. But Paul said that these people who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who try to make merchandise of people,
Come
try
on,
to make money
what?
Off the Christian faith and everything
right.
like that, he said the wrath of God is revealed from faith to faith, revealing it against them. How? Because he's proven it, even in nature, his Godhead. They are without excuse, Paul
right.
said.
Praise
because they
God.
Can look right out and prove
See
how
it.
His substance is now.
Amen.
So now we got another key of how we can understand his substance.
Right.
There is rational proof of it.
Yes, sir.
There is some form of rational proof. Paul just said there is. We are without excuse if we don't understand this. Because we can clearly see it, he said.
Wow. Amen.
Oh my, could you imagine
right
that? It's not just, it ain't hard no more.
That's
A lot
right.
of people approach this stuff, they're scared to approach it.
Right.
Because they think it's so difficult to understand grasp. And Paul said it's clearly
awesome.
Seen.
Yes, sir.
You can see with your open eye. I don't need glasses to see it.
That's right.
I'm blind with these things. My goodness, I can't even read that clock anymore. But Paul said, I can clearly see
Amen.
What this is. His
Praise
substance.
Amen.
So with this thinking, we're going to go back to Acts 17.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to read this. Amen. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Acts 17, we're going to start 22 again. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." We still try and make it this, that, or another. We make it too hard to ourselves.
Yep.
We get scared and everything
yep.
like that. We're too superstitious.
Yes.
Things. We're afraid to approach them.
Come on.
Amen.
Watch this. For as I passed by and held your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, "To the unknown God." Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. There's a lot of people who do this.
Yes,
Brother Branham said Satan's either. There's people who ignorantly worship God. They're actually worshiping Satan thinking they're worshiping God.
Sure.
Now, could you possibly imagine that? How could you possibly thinking you're worshiping God and yet you're worshiping Satan ignorantly? Mm-hmm. Easy. You're making them three people.
Sure.
You're changing the substance of God.
Yes.
If you change the substance of something, it's not that anymore.
Right. Sure.
If anything, it's insulting.
Right.
If you come up to me and tell me I'm Joe Bob, I ain't Joe Bob. I'm Stephen Caressel.
Right.
No, buddy, you're Joe Bob. You know you're Joe Bob. Listen, buddy, I ain't Joe Bob. You get over it. I'd almost get mad at you. Oh, you all get mad too if you go to the Social Security office and they change your Social Security number and they make you, you know, John Smith. I ain't John Smith. You change my number. You change who I am. Amen. You change my substance. Woo! Amen.
Yes.
That's why people are ignorantly worshiping Satan. They're changing the substance of God. They change the image of God change the image of an incorruptible God to the image of a corruptible man.
Amen.
That's what they just did a couple months ago when they voted another pope in. Amen. They're changing the image of God to a corruptible man. None of us are God to each other. We only have one head, and that's Christ. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
There's only one head in the body, and it ain't me.
That's right.
It ain't you.
That's right.
It's Him, right?
Yes, sir.
It's Him.
That's right.
He's the husband to the bride.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, my.
That's the truth.
Amen. There whom, therefore, you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. So He's now going to declare the unknown God to them.
Yes, sir.
Who is God? What's His substance? What it is? He's now going to declare it to them. God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Okay, we're getting a key here now.
Yep.
We're getting a key. No man's going to make this up. That's great, ain't it? That's great, ain't it? If I make something, I mess it up all the time, ain't
it? Right. Glory.
I mess up the entire experience. That's why you better not depend on me.
That's right. Glory to God.
A lot of people look at a preacher sometimes. Yep. I think a lot of people tend to depend too much on preachers.
Sure thing. Come on.
And not on themselves.
That's right.
Listen, I can make a million mistakes in my life.
Don't matter.
They don't matter. There's if there's a gift there, I mean, my goodness, there's a donkey spoke to Balaam
right.
And was preaching on him. Why can't God use this guy? Uh-huh. Oh, I don't like him. He's too tall. He shouts too loud. He spits too much. Everything like that. God used a donkey. What if a donkey talked to you?
Right.
Would you start smacking him? Oh, my.
Yeah, sure.
See, you depend too much on a preacher, not on the Word of God.
Word.
Let's say that man is doing something wrong or anything like that. You just don't throw everything out he says.
That's right.
You may very well be held accountable to it.
That's right.
Balaam was from a donkey.
That's true.
Matter of fact, remember that story of that man that the Bible just calls him the man of God. And I think that's in the Book of Kings.
Yes.
It was just the man of God. And he was told not to go back.
Right.
The Word told him not to go back. There was that other prophet come to church. I'm told him to go back. So he went back. The Bible says God used that very man who told him to go back. The Bible says he prophesied and says, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, you're dead. And the lion came and ate him up, right?
Sure.
God used the same man who tricked him to come back, prophesied and tell him, you weren't supposed to do what I just said. Wait, what?
That's true.
He was held accountable to the Word. It did not matter about that man's mistake.
No doubt.
It did not matter now. You are still held accountable to the Word.
Yes, sir.
Stop depending on a man.
Nope.
Depend on Him.
On the Word. Come on.
Depend on Him. If I fail you, don't worry. He ain't.
Hallelujah.
If a pastor fail you, don't worry. He won't. Amen. He cannot fail. Brother Mary said it's one thing God can't do. He cannot fail.
Amen.
If He said He saved you, He saved you.
Amen.
If He said He redeemed you, He did it. Amen.
Amen.
How is it proven? By faith. You got to believe that.
Yes.
Amen. He cannot fail you. He said He healed you. He can't fail.
Amen.
Thank
oh,
Jesus.
My praise
Thank
God.
You,
Hallelujah. That's just so good of me. Amen. He can't fail us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Even if you fail Him, even if you fail Him, He can't fail you. The Bible says He begun the work.
That's right.
And He's going to finish it.
Amen. Amen.
Aren't you glad you're not the beginner nor the finisher? Amen. Aren't you glad? You don't got to finish this. He will.
Amen.
If you are seed, and by faith you can believe that.
Yes, sir.
Then tell me how you're going to miss it.
That's right, brother.
The Bible says no one will pluck Him from His hand. How could they?
Right.
That's right.
It ain't just anybody. It's Him.
That's right.
It's Him that's holding it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise Your name.
We're going to make a little turn now. I've always wondered this. You know what? We're just going to wait a little bit, if you don't mind. Let's go back to Acts 17 real quick. Oh, I see why.
Thank you, Lord.
Acts 17. Let's go back to verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Amen. Just like this building. He's not dwelling in that kind of a temple.
That's right.
Neither is worship with man's hands. I thought he wants worship, though.
Come on now.
I thought he wanted worship. But he said he don't need to be worshipped by your hands. Watch what he keeps saying. As though he needed anything. See, he giveth all life and breath and all things. Wait a minute. So you're thinking God actually needs your hands up?
That's it.
He gave you life. He gave you everything. He gives everything, everything.
That's right.
The Bible calls him the all in all. So everything in him, all of it is him. He made all things.
That's right.
So he doesn't need your hands up to do something for him.
Right.
He's the almighty. Yes, not some Lord. Mighty. Almighty. He's not.
No, sir. That's
so he don't need your hands to worship him.
Go on.
Right?
Yes.
Watch what he says. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed. So even when we set up service here at noon today, even before we appointed that time, he already did.
That's right.
Oh, so he needs your hands now. When he decided when your service is going to be. When he decided when you're going to get in the car. When he set the bounds of your habitation.
Right.
When maybe you thought you were going to move 100 times, we're going to move here, we're going to move there, everything like that. But before the foundation of the world, he appointed your boundaries, you ain't moving nowhere.
Amen.
And you still, he needs your hands up? He needs something from you now?
No, sir.
See what happens now? We're understanding the substance of God. We're going to get into it in a minute, okay?
Yes, sir.
Watch this. Amen. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. So he ain't that far now?
That's right.
Would you say he's within grasp?
Come on now.
Just as close as this Bible is to me, he is not far from you.
That's right.
He is right there. He can be clearly seen.
Amen.
Now this is a lot different than what people teach in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, and even some Message churches. This is a way far from their thinking. This is a way far. They think you can't understand God. You can't figure this stuff out. There's no way you could possibly rationally understand it. And yet he's saying right here, he is not far from you at all.
That's right.
God is not far from you at all. This is way different. Jesus. Listen, Brother Bram said the only way we could clearly understand this is the opening of the seven seals.
Thank you, Lord God.
The uttering of the seven thunders.
Yes, sir.
The mysteries being unfolded. Everything like that. Why are we so scared of this sometimes? Because I'll show you in a minute, you're part of it.
Amen. That's it.
The reason why sometimes is because the devil's trying to hold you back from your substance.
Amen.
We'll get into the second. Watch,
yes.
Watch. Oh, it's good. It's real good. It's good, Brother Cam.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This makes it simple. Watch. Amen. Let's start verse 27 again. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Wait a minute. Okay, so hold on a second. So my being, my substance, is in him. I only have my being in him now. I move and breathe. I live and move and have our being. Watch what he says. As certain also of your own poets have said, ye are the offspring of God.
Amen.
Wait a minute. So here's the key now. To understand the substance of God, to understand this unknown God, was to understand you're an offspring of him now.
Yes, sir.
And that word offspring means genos. It's the same word we get for gene. Like, for instance, my dad right there, when I was birthed and so forth, because his life came into the egg and so forth, his gene passed into my gene now.
Right.
So my DNA, they can actually take my DNA and prove without a shadow of doubt, I ain't Eddie's boy, I'm his boy.
Right.
My DNA in me now proves.
So
that means whatever substance he is, so is my substance now.
Yes, sir.
I may look a little different, I may be a little taller, maybe a little fatter, maybe eat a little more food, stuff like that, but they can still take them genes and they're in here. I don't mean to be a little joke, because God does the same thing. Brother Bram said God's a God of variety.
That's right.
So though he may have many children, they all may just be a little different. But they still can cut open my genes.
Yes, Lord.
And prove beyond a shadow of doubt, I'm his offspring.
Yes.
So to understand my father's substance, I need to understand my substance.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
He's saying that's the key to understanding what God is to understand your substance. Watch what he says. Verse 29. Yes, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold and silver or stone graven by arts or man's theology. So he's saying, understanding your position in Christ, understanding your substance in God, you don't think the Godhead is something different now.
Right.
Whatever your substance is now, Brother Kent, that's his substance now.
Come on.
If you're the offspring of God, now you can understand the same substance, what makes you a part of that seed gene of God, what makes you the offspring of God, would be the same substance he has now.
Right.
That's the key to understanding. So if God is three persons, why aren't we all walking around with, I don't know, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? Why aren't we walking around with three heads?
Right?
That's what they do when they made them pictures and so forth. They didn't even make stone statues and stuff like that. They have one guy, and then they have a head here, and head here. I'm sorry, I ain't got no eyeballs inside my head.
That's right.
I ain't got no other faces right here like that. Whatever my substance is, glory to God. Whatever my seed is, that's also him. That's the key to understanding who God is now.
Right.
Oh boy, that's clearly seen now, ain't it?
Amen.
You see, what Paul was saying is clearly seen in the world. Amen. When you have kids, they're you. Amen. They ain't dogs, they ain't cats, they're humans. Amen. If anything has kids, that's what they are. Amen. So to understand the substance of God is to understand our substance.
Yes, sir.
Understanding our part in the Godhead. And I will prove to you in a minute, you're a part of the Godhead.
That's right.
Now, I'm not talking about this guy.
Amen, amen, amen.
This guy was what? Constructed in sin.
That's right.
So this thing matches the image of the Father.
Come on.
What? The devil, right? Serpency. This thing, this flesh was constructed in sin, shaped in iniquity, speaking of lies. And it hasn't changed yet, just so you know. Won't change. You're always going to battle it. You're always going to fight. And here's the thing. I had this happen to me just in the office and this last night. I think, Lord, why don't I pray more? Why don't I read my Bible more? And I believe I've grown up. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? I'm like, I wasn't doing that before, now I'm doing like this, and now I wasn't doing that, and now I'm doing this, and stuff like that. And you think to yourself, you know, I don't know, I'm one of them kind of people that I cross 100 bridges before I'm even there. That's why when you see me act funny sometimes, that's probably because I have you saying this thing 10 years later or something like that because of this and that and another, and I just cross bridges that never happened. Never happened, I just made up bridges, and I'm just walking out, I'm just like that, it's just my makeup. I'll do that sometimes. I'll sit there and pray. All of a sudden, I'm 15 years down the road, and Lily's hating me and everything like that. And I'm like, wait a minute, I ain't even going to cut it off. I'm like, I ain't even nowhere near that. Why do I go through that stuff and everything like that? I ask myself. You know, stuff like that. And God just came to me and said, it may look different, but it's the same thing you've always battled. It's the same thing, this thing. It's always this thing. It may look different to you. It may just act different to you and everything like that.
Sure.
But it's still this thing. I still waste time. I was wondering, well, Lord, why did I waste time with that? I didn't waste time with that before. It's still wasting time, he said.
Right.
That's the same battle you've been battling the whole time.
Sure.
It's the same fight you're in.
Amen.
The devil will just come into your mind sometimes and try to make it different in your head and then try to get you back in hell again and everything like that.
Right.
And not make you seed of God stuff like that just because it looks different.
Wow. That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We have to come back to this thinking is that this is not the substance of God.
Amen.
There is a part of me that is.
Hey,
why did I even show up to church?
Oh, hallelujah.
You ever wondered that? My goodness, there's sometimes I wake up, I have no feeling in my body to go to church. I don't even have an inkling. I want to stay in bed. I don't even have an inkling. But you know what I do? The guy gets up, he gets a shirt on, he gets his nice pants on, he puts a tie on, and guess what? He's in the van driving to church still.
That's right.
I like how Brother Ben Norod said it. I heard a long time ago saying stuff like that. Because he was talking about the same thing about being, you know, why do I need to go to church and like that? That was a good thing. I'm going anyways. I don't go Wednesday night. And he called and said, listen, dummy, you're going to church anyhow. Even if I got to drag you kicking and screaming, you're going to church. We must understand the substance of who we are. In order to understand God's substance, we must first understand our substance.
Praise be to God.
You're not this guy. This guy talks. This guy wants to do things. This guy does do things. This guy does things that you don't want to do, but he still did it anyways. You have to talk like that. Didn't that sound weird for a second in there? I thought it was you doing it. No, it's him doing it. It's always him doing it. Even if he did it for 100 more years, it'd still just be him. You're separated, amen? Otherwise, the blood wasn't good enough.
Amen.
The Bible says when the Lamb stood up from the midst of the throne, the Bible says when he stood up, and that's what I was going to go to before, but now I decided to go. When the Bible says he stood up, the Bible says he was still bloody, amen. And remember, Paul said in the book of Hebrews, he said, if the covenant has no power unless it's the death of the tester. A testament, which is a covenant, has no power until the death of the one who made the testament.
Right.
And the lamb, when he stood up, he wasn't clean. He was still bloody. Why? Because the blood still hasn't lost its power. The covenant still has power.
Yes.
When the seals were open, when he opened the seals and revealed, he stood up, he still had the blood, amen. The blood was still there, amen.
Jesus.
We don't have to depend upon ourselves. We don't have to depend upon our works. The blood still had power, amen. Oh my, praise God. The blood still has power for us, don't it?
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Who loves the Lord.
Amen, amen. Yes, Lord.
Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of our own prophets have said, we are also his offspring. Aren't you glad?
Hallelujah.
For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance gone weak that during the church ages and so forth like that, when they made the substance of God something else.
Right.
But people would still, in that light of that day and so forth like that, the Bible says God would wink at their ignorance of it.
Amen.
But, he said, but now, he commandeth every man to repent.
Amen.
Listen, right. We've came to the point now where you can't just accept a substitutional religion no more. Remember, like I said in the beginning, we walk in the light as he is in the light. If you're not walking in the light of your day, then your sins are not being purged. That's what he said.
Amen.
And you have to be walking in that light. And there was a day God will wink at your ignorance. Brother Bam said during the times of Martin Luther, you could just simply believe make it. During John Wesley, you could be sanctified but live a legalistic life and still be saved. John Wesley thought you could live a life perfectly sinless.
That's right.
We know that ain't true.
That's true.
I live every day to prove that ain't true.
Yes, sir, brother.
About every time I blink my eyes, I know that ain't true.
Yes.
But see, during that time, because during Pentecostal times, they believed you could be speaking in tongues and you were filled with the Holy Ghost. They believed that.
Sure.
It was an evidence. You could believe that in that day and still be saved. But Brother Branham said, now, in this day, no more substitutional religion.
That's
you
right.
You have to have the person of Christ manifested.
Yes, Lord.
It's the only thing that makes it now. There's no substitutional religion. There's no guessing it. It's now been clearly seen. Amen.
Amen.
It's clearly known to us.
Yes, Lord.
What the way we should walk. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Now, as I said, with the understanding of God's substance is understanding our substance. I ain't three persons.
That's right.
I'm one person.
That's right.
I have a seed of God that's a part of God. See how this makes a lot more sense now, how Jesus could pray to the Father.
Yes, sir.
Brother Bram was asked the same question.
Yes, he was.
Brother Bram was asked the same question. They asked him and said, Brother Bram, how did Jesus pray to the Father if he was the Father? Which I'll make it like you're asking me that question now. So I'll answer the same way Brother Bram did. Andrew, stand up. Andrew, do you believe you're filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
And who do you pray to?
Holy Ghost.
There you go. Sit down. He said, there you go. That's how he answered the question.
That's right.
That's exactly how matter of fact, he didn't say that part though. The guy just kind of stopped and said, He said, all right, sit down. That's how he answered it. How do you pray to the Father if the Father's in you?
That's right.
If you're a part of the seed gene of God, the only difference between you and him was what? He was the fullness.
That's right.
You're a part.
That's right.
Now, collectively, with the rest of the body, you're the fullness.
Amen.
Which we'll get into in a minute. But God, Jesus, let's wait on that. I got a quote. You know, this is cool. Read that quote now. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, here we go. Mighty God, 64. I love how he said it. He said, in them days, in them days, it was God in a man.
Right.
His son, Jesus Christ. We believe that. Not just a prophet.
That's right.
Not just an ordinary man, ordinary human. It was God in Christ. God in a man. The fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. God in a man. But he said in them days. He said, now, oh my.
Yes, sir.
He said in them days, it was God in a man. Now, it's God in man.
Oh, yes, my. Amen.
See, the fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church, amen, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word.
Hallelujah.
It's different now. In them days, it was one man. In this day, it's the entire church, amen.
Yes. That's true.
That's why I can't stand people making message popes.
That's right.
That's an Alex term. Because the Bible says the entire Godhead bodily is not in a man. It's in an entire church.
Amen.
Whether preacher, deacon, pastor, amen, everything like that, it's still in a church. It's equally in the entire church. You know I can't make it without you, right?
That's right, brother. Come on now.
Why? If you're part of the Godhead and I'm part of the Godhead, then how can we be separated? I can't make it without you not making it. And guess what? You can't make it without me.
Amen.
Sorry. You're going to be living with me for a long time. You better start liking me now. Amen. Why? Because we're all part of the same body.
Amen.
And the entire Godhead is in the church.
Hallelujah.
Brother, did Paul ever say that? Yes, he did. For this cause, Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yes.
Amen. So all the fullness of God is in you now? Amen. I thought the fullness was in him. It is. In him we live.
Amen.
And move.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
And have our being.
Yes, Lord.
You do realize that a husband and a wife have the same name, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
If you say, hey, Bodderf, I bet Brenda and Andy will both look at you. Even Destiny. Why? They all have the same name.
Yes, sir.
Like Sproles. You got five people who start looking at you. 5 to 7. 5:08. Pat, 6. That's right. I'm sorry, buddy. I knew that. Sproles. If you say Caressles, you have a whole bunch of people looking at you. Some of you may not want you looking at them anyways. Why? They have the same name.
Right.
That's how he said.
That's
all
it,
the
brother.
All in heaven and earth have
Glory
the same name.
Glory to God.
You say Christ.
Yes, sir.
The entire body looks. Just like in the Garden of Eden, they had the same name. The Bible says their name Adam. So when you said Adam, the entire family of Adam looked at you and said, what? What'd you want? You call my name. We all
Amen.
Have the same name.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? To understand his substance, you must first understand your substance. You must understand who you are to understand who he is now.
Amen.
See, now it makes sense how he prayed to the Father. It's the same way you do it.
Amen.
The same way you do it. All difference, all the fullness was in him. Brother Branham said this. I heard him say this the other night. I think it's in the unveiling of God. Brother Branham said it was Christ and Moses,
yes, sir,
who prayed to the children, prayed between God. Remember when they made the golden calf?
Yep.
And God said, I'm going to burn them all up, and I'm going to start with you a new nation.
Sure.
God comes to him. Now watch what he does. I love this part too. And this is a little side Bible study. So you ready? Remember, there was two covenants. There was first the Abraham covenant. It was an unconditional covenant.
Right.
He said, not if. He said, I have a half. But when they came to Kadesh Barnea, Brother Bram said, they chose to have a law.
Right.
They chose to have a law. So they did that, do this, do this, do this, do that, do that, do that. Well, they broke the law.
That's right.
And God comes to Moses and says, I'm going to burn them all up. They broke the law.
That's right.
And so now I'm going to burn them all up, and I'm going to start with you a new nation. Do you know what Moses did? He did not approach God in any Mosaic law at all.
That's right.
He didn't approach him with a single rule or nothing. What do? He go back to a first covenant.
That's right.
He goes back to a previous covenant, the one he made to the father of this nation, Abraham.
Amen.
He said, you said to Abraham, these people would be as the sky, as the stars in the sky, as the sands of the sea.
Yes,
and he
sir.
Even told God, he says, could you imagine this? This is just,
yep.
Moses was a guy just like you guys, you know. You know, he even made mistakes, we know.
Sure did.
And this guy is talking to God and tells God, if you burn them up now, God, just so you know, if you burn them up, then the Egyptians over there are going to say, God just pulled them people out with a mighty hand just to kill them in the desert. He said, you told Abraham they'd be the sands of the sea. You know what the Bible says? The Lord didn't go, now Moses, you do realize I am the Almighty. You do realize that I could just flash my eyelashes and you'd be a pile of dirt now. No. You know what the Bible says God did? The Bible says the Lord repented of the evil he was going to do. Now, how did Moses, a man of God, or just a man, just like you and me, get God to repent of his evil. Brother Bam said it was because it was Christ in God. It was Christ in Moses. It was Christ in Moses. How is Christ in Moses then? I thought the Holy Ghost wasn't going to come until 1600 years later. Ah, see, now we got the key now. Now we're understanding the Godhead.
Yes.
Moses was just as much part of God as even God was. Know what? So see, can't you put yourself there now?
That's it.
Can you put yourself there? Especially if you got the Holy Ghost, amen. It's quickened the seed. It's brought it to life. It's understanding it now.
Yes,
Lord. Could you do that?
That's it.
Could you stand in the breach?
That's it, brother.
Said he stood in the breach for them people. He was the one that could touch God and touch them people and actually make the breach. What about you? See, the Godhead now, you see that part of God. That part of God was working. Brother Bram said it was the drama. Remember, this ain't my drama, this is his drama.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
It's God's praise drama. God. I'm a part of that drama. Thank I'm a part Lord. Of that Godhead. To understand his substance, you must understand your substance.
Amen. Yes,
you must
sir.
Be willing to walk in it too.
Amen. That's
could you believe that for yourself?
That's it.
Could you believe most? How about this? Here's another example. If you don't believe me with that example, I'll give you another one. The Bible says when when Isaac was born and he got circumcised on the eighth day, the Bible says Sarah looked at Ishmael and disdained him. Went up to Abraham and said, cast out the bondwoman and her son.
Amen. That's right.
For the son of that bondwoman will not be heir with my son. This is Sarah. Abraham, you know what Abraham did? I don't know if I can do that. That's my boy. That's my boy. You know what God said? God came to Abraham and said, hearken to the voice of thy wife. Hearken to it. Why? Because Paul would say later in Galatians 4,
that's right.
He would say, what did the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Do you realize he called it scripture? Do you realize that actually came out of the mouth of Sarah?
That's right. Amen.
So when Sarah was saying that, it was actually scripture Amen. Coming out of her mouth.
Hallelujah.
To tell her husband yes. what to do.
My.
I know it's hard. But if you understand the Godhead, how you're a part of it.
Yes, sir.
How you're a co-laborer with him. You see, people think when you see why people are scared? I got it now. You see why you're scared to approach us now? It's because you think you're stealing from God.
That's right. That's
what it is. You think it's robbery. You think it's stealing from God. That's why people are afraid to approach the Trinity.
Amen.
That's why they're afraid to approach the understanding of the Godhead. Because if you fully understand the Godhead, it puts you in your position now.
That's right.
And now guess what? Guess what? It makes it your fault now.
Whoa, come on.
It makes it your fault if you don't do something.
Right.
It makes you responsible.
Amen.
Exactly. I've done that God many times. I say, God, you know, you pray, God, take this away, God, take this away. And you think for a second, say, wait a minute, ain't it my job? I have the power to do
yes,
it.
Well, yes, sir.
Now, don't get me wrong. We depend on God on things and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. But the only way you could ever even take it away is because God allowed you to do it.
Amen.
Right? So you don't take it away from God's authority. You see what I'm saying? We think it's robbery to preach the Trinity or preach the right understanding of the Godhead. Why? Because now it makes it your fault. Now it makes it your responsibility to lay your hands on the sick.
Amen. Amen.
Now it makes it your responsibility to say the word.
Amen.
You speak the word.
Amen.
You say it.
Amen.
When Sarah said that, could you imagine Sarah saying that to her husband? The Bible says Sarah called him Lord. And yet she was willing to do that. Why? It was scripture coming out of her mouth. Oh boy, you want another example? Okay, we'll do that.
Go on.
You want another example? When Rahab was on the wall of Jericho.
Right, come on now.
Them two spies came up, right? The two spies, and she was willing to hide them spies. Now, I still don't fully understand this to this day, but do you realize she actually lied?
Yes,
sure did. She hid them spies, the people came up and said, hey, are the thieves there? She said, oh no, they went that way, they went that way.
Sure did.
They went that way, they went that way. She lied to them.
Yes.
Now, do we condone lying? No, of course not. No, of course not. But if you watch with the rest of the story, watch her motive. She hid the message of her hour. She hid that word. She came up to them and said, what? She said, because I've hid them people from you. She said, I don't want to die in the rest of this city. She said, I want a true token now.
Amen. That's right.
I want to get out of this.
Amen.
Her motive was what? To get out of this stuff.
Jesus.
She wanted to get out of this. And them two spies told her to throw that scarlet thread out.
That's it.
And don't worry, she said, anybody who's under this roof, they're saying this now, not
right,
Joshua.
Right.
If anybody's under this roof, not a hair on their head. If a hair on their head fall, he said, their blood be upon us.
Right.
Amen.
And they go back and tell Joshua.
Right.
Now remember, Joshua types the Holy Ghost, not
sure
these two guys.
Right.
Well, man, first one time called them tape boys,
yep,
another
right.
time called them couple preachers.
That's right.
She was willing to hide these couple tape boys or these couple preachers. And these preachers at table actually gave her a way of escape.
Amen.
That was honored by Joshua.
That's
the time of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Could you imagine us actually able to do that?
Yes.
That's true.
Brother Branham said God honored what Moses said.
Sure did.
And he said what? He said, I hope that sinks in. He said, I'm going to say it again. God honored what Moses said. Amen. You know, God would come and tell him to do a plague, but God never told him to take him away.
That's right.
You see that? If you understand this Godhead, Lord, if you understand your position, what can stand before you then?
Amen.
If you really believe it.
Glory
if you
to
really
God.
Understand it.
Praise his holy name.
I'm going to try to wind her down real quick. You all understand what
Thank
I'm saying,
Jesus.
Amen?
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I'm going to read a couple more quotes and we'll ring her down. God provided a place of worship, 65. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And where we in there. Oh, wait, you're in there now. When'd you get in there? You always were.
Hallelujah.
Oh my, praise God. See, Brother Bram said God could never have a new thought. Right? Because he was perfect to begin with.
That's right.
He could never have a new thought. If he did, he learned something, and therefore he would not be infinite. He'd be finite like you and me. If he finally found out you were going to make it. Oh wow, they made the rapture? Oh boy. Whew, I didn't even realize that. You think you're going to surprise him when you show up?
Nope.
He's already waiting for you.
That's right.
Why?
Glory to God.
Because you were in him then.
Oh, hallelujah.
You were in him
Jesus.
Then. He's waiting for you now.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my, praise God. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, where we in there are sons and daughters of God in God's Godhead. So you're in the God's Godhead now.
That's right.
So to understand the Godhead, you must understand your part in the Godhead.
Amen.
You can now understand Jesus' part in the Godhead. And you can understand how the whole plan of redemption comes together.
Yes,
that's
right.
Brother Man said that book held the mystery of redemption.
Yes, it did.
That's what it did. So when the seals were opened, it opened up that revelation of redemption. Now you can understand how Moses could do that.
Right.
Now you can understand how Joshua stopped the sun when nobody told him he could.
Right.
No one told me he could stop the sun. He just said, sun, stop still. And the Bible says the Lord hearkened to his voice.
That's right.
Brother Branham said he honored his decision about it.
That's right.
He could have probably said, let a billion fireflies show up. Billion fireflies show up and light the sky just the same. Right?
Right.
He could have had that. God, make lightning flash continuously so it stay lit around here. But why not? God honored his way of doing it.
That's right.
Brother Branham said when God... I don't mean to get on so many tangents.
That's all right.
When God talked about Moses, when Moses went to the Red Sea, and Brother Branham said that he got scared or whatever, he said, watch the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Branham said the reason why God got upset at him a little bit, he said, why are you crying out unto me? He said, when he sent his children all the way, he said, I already told him he was going to go to that mountain. So he said, he actually wanted to go take a break. He said, God, I want to go take a little break. Maybe sit on the chair, just like we like to sometimes. Substance, right? I don't know. So he wanted to take a break. Oh, this is nice. My children, you know, I know Moses is going to do it because when Moses was to say something, it happened.
That's right.
I showed him. I showed him the word. I showed him it could happen. He goes to sleep, and all of a sudden he hears his baby crying. This grown man crying. I should say it like that. This grown man he thought was mature. Hey, he goes, what are you whining, boy? What are you complaining about? You go do it.
That's right.
He said, why are you crying to me? You speak the word and go do it. See? We're supposed to be this maturity. And I'm not saying we all are here yet. Don't get me wrong. I probably got some more growing to do. I don't know either. I don't feel like this. But listen, church, this is where I want to be.
Yes.
I want to believe this.
That's right.
If they could do it, if Brother Ben said, Joshua could stop the sun, what about a man filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost? Why can't he do it?
Right.
It actually stirred him so much he started crying about it. I remember in the service. He just got so moved. He said, if they could do that with an imperfect sacrifice, what about the church? Amen.
Amen.
What about the church? There's been not a single sickness that leave us. If they could do that, why can't we?
Amen, brother.
Especially when we got the blood. I'm not saying we're necessarily here, but I want to aim high. There's that old saying, aim for the moon. It said, even if you miss, you're laying among the stars.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Why not? Let's aim high. Let's not lower the bars.
Yes,
let's aim the bars high.
Amen.
Let's get it high so we can focus on that.
Yes, Lord.
Not just legalistic law, though.
Jesus.
That's not what I'm talking about. A lot of people say get the bars high. They actually mean get legalistic. No, let's believe high.
Amen.
Let's believe high.
Yes,
let's believe that. All things. Not some things, not maybes, not some whats, all things. Let's believe high. This can happen because God said it.
Amen.
Brother Rand said, God don't want you to ask for small things. That's he doesn't want you to ask big things. He said, he described it like this. It's like a little mouse. Little mouse would walk in the big, gigantic Egypt things. Let's say the little mouse at Okolona that we built a new bin about 4 or 5 years ago that can hold 265,000 bushels of corn. And this little half-inch mice, they're there, walked in there and said, oh boy, I better eat sparingly. I might run out someday. I'll just eat a half a piece of corn today. You know what my man said? He'd be crazy in his mind.
That's right.
There's no way he could exasperate the supply given to him.
Amen.
His body just simply could not do it.
That's right.
And that's what God's saying. You ask him these small little things like asking for that little half-inch corn. The Bible says, open your mouth wide.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, the eye may fill it.
Amen.
Some people
hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Open it wide.
Yes.
He said he'd do it. Let's believe high. Who wants to believe high this morning?
Amen.
Who wants to believe that high?
Glory.
Let's stand on our feet and praise the Lord then. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank
amen.
You, Jesus. Oh, praise is living.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If you all don't mind, I want to read one more quote.
That's all right. Come on.
Boy, that was good, though. Let's believe high.
You,
amen.
Jesus.
Let's not just try to legalize high. Let's believe.
Believe
listen,
high.
Right believing amen. Will have right living.
That's right.
You don't got to worry about that. I've had people say that. Well, if you preach grace too much, don't you think that people will start living like that? I said, no. No, because the Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to deny all unrighteousness.
Yes, sir.
Not your opinion
amen,
of what unrighteousness
amen.
Is, but what the Scripture says unrighteousness is. Which
you,
is
Lord
what?
Jesus.
Believing, right?
Amen.
Abraham believed God and it was accounted him righteous. If you were to look at Abraham's life, you would have never made it in your eyes.
Nope.
That's
some
right.
people listen to people in this message, oh my
yep.
God, they had
yep.
Moses dead, they had Joshua dead, they
oh.
had David dead, they had all these people who never, they are all in hell now.
That's right.
If they had that bar that high for them.
Sure.
God don't do that. That's not
right.
God. It's believing.
Yes,
right
sir.
Believing will produce right living.
Hallelujah.
What God wants them to do. Rahab lied. We
amen.
All sent her to hell. But
right.
God sent her to heaven.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
God gave her a token. She lied, but God gave her a token.
Thank you, Lord,
we got
Holy
something.
Oh,
thank
goodness.
You,
Father.
I'm sorry,
for
church.
The
Brother Ram said that,
oh,
that in the Garden of Eden, they had a holy veil on their heads. She said, but when they came out from that holy veil, they put a lust veil on. That they cannot see their naked because they're lusting after it. But he said Adam and Eve could not see each other naked because they had a holy veil.
Yes.
But we're walking around like said, we ain't got no veil at all. But Brother said they could not see each other's sin because of a holy veil.
Oh my.
And yet we're walking around, we can point out everything in everybody's life.
That's right.
And Brother said we're supposed to have a holy veil again. We're supposed to go back to that.
Right.
I've done that many times. When you look at a woman, maybe you walk in JCPenney, you see the models that dress for their underwear and so forth like that. And you think, boy, I hope God, man, that's just terrible.
Yeah.
But if you had a holy veil on, you'd actually probably be worried about that person, wouldn't you?
Yes, Lord.
Boy, that poor person. Boy, they can make it. They can make it.
Amen.
It's a holy veil. You ever wonder about this? You know Brother Bram hung with that one guy, he called him Snake Eyes.
Uh-huh.
How
yep.
many times did he hunt
right.
with him? Maybe he cussed a little bit. Maybe he did this. Brother Bram said, go hunt with him.
Right.
Many times. Call him Snake Eyes. He bring that thing. He said he's just a meaner than Dorn. He doesn't understand. But Brother Bramster would hunt with him. I've always wondered that myself.
Right.
Why? He was walking with the holy veil on.
That's right.
So amen. Much that what Jesus. Happened? That guy got saved.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Who's to say? You know, I understand, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You know, things like that. Don't get me wrong. There's why you just don't go walk in the bar and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right.
You completely surround yourself in that stuff. But when he was just hunting with that one guy, he'd be alone and stuff like that. Maybe that guy wasn't perfect and stuff like that and everything like that. But he had a holy veil. He could ignore that stuff and still see the person. What's that song? He looked past my faults and he saw my need.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We're going to sing that song. I want to read one more quote. I want to read this quote. Because this quote's good for this whole thought, okay? United Time and Sign, 63. We see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the churches uniting. We see the bride uniting.
Yes.
Uniting with each other, kinda. The Word.
Amen.
We're
That's
uniting
it.
With the Word. If we're all united with the Word,
Hallelujah.
Then we're all united to each other.
Amen.
I just don't want to be united with you.
Right.
Okay? No offense.
The word. That's right.
No offense. I want to be united with the Word.
Amen.
But if you're united with the Word too, and I'm united with the Word, then we unite each other. It's like that thing, that mass principle. If two things equal the same thing, like if 7 plus 3 equals 10, and then 5 plus 5 equals 10, that means 7 plus 3 and 5 plus 5 are equal too.
Yes, sir.
So if I'm equal with the Word and you're equal with the Word,
glory to God.
We're
equal with each other now. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
See how it works now.
Glory to God.
And the Word, why? He says, why? So we're uniting with the Word. Why? The Word is God.
Yes.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That's just too much now, brother. We're united with the Word, and the Word is God.
Amen.
And as the Word, as the bridegroom being the Word, and the bride being the hearer of the Word. So him being the Word, and you the hearer of the Word.
Yes, sir.
What happens? They come together in a union now.
Hallelujah.
They unite like a wedding.
What?
See,
yes,
they're getting ready for a wedding. They're becoming one. The Word becomes you. The Word becomes you.
Amen.
And
it.
You become the
That's
Word.
It.
The Word actually chose to become you.
Amen. Oh, my.
God.
Glory to God.
Jesus said, at that day, you know that I and the Father is, and I am. All and all I am, you are.
That's it.
And all you are, I am.
That's
or
it.
In him, we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
Paul said it. Paul said the same thing he said. In him, we have our being. That's our being. That's him. And he's saying it right here. In that day, he said, in that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father. Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, at that day. What day?
Oh,
this day. We find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. Oh, how I like that.
Thank you, Lord.
Who likes that this morning?
Oh, yes, Lord.
I in him, and him in me.
Yes, Lord.
In him we move and live and breathe. And have our being.
Amen.
Thank understanding you, the Godhead. Understanding how he is one person.
Thank
and
you,
yet
Lord
how
Jesus.
He's not one person. Is understanding how you are.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Understanding
Jesus.
Your substance.
Yes, Lord.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. We thank you, Lord God, for the word spoken. We thank you, Father,
Jesus.
For the mysteries being revealed in these last days.
Yes,
we should not be afraid of them, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would not be afraid of them, God. But try to our best to believe high, to embrace these things. Our prophet taught us these things. Our prophet taught us, just like we just read, Lord. He said, all that you are, I am. And all that I am, you are.
Amen.
God, we want to believe that, God.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to separate the flesh from us, oh God. To separate the deeds in our flesh from ourselves, oh God. To be a discerner of good and evil. To put the flesh into subjection. And yet to learn that it's still not us. To learn how to fight. Not just to, you know, not just to learn to try to just kill everything, but to learn how to fight.
Yes, Father.
Sometimes we need that forgiveness, and yet sometimes we need rebuke. Sometimes we need chastising, and yet sometimes we need grace. That's like the Bible says, when we approach the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the times of need. God, teach us, Lord, how to fight, how to use the mercy of God, how to not receive the grace of God in vain, and yet not to make grace disgrace at all.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We must learn how to fight, not just fight, not just throw our fists, but learn how to fight the devil, how to fight these thoughts, how to fight the mind. How to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. How to live and overcome Christ.
Yes.
As we lift our hands, Father, we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, God, being down, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the moving of that presence, God, in our beings, God. Help us, Lord, for the understanding in our hearts, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for looking past our faults. Finding our need.
Oh, hallelujah.
You still do that to this day. Brother Bram said the same question has been settled.
Thank you, Jesus.
We don't need to deal with the sin question no more. Can somebody be forgiven? Of course they can.
Oh, glory.
Of course they can be. The blood still has power. When the lamb stood up, that bloody lamb was still there. The lamb still had the blood. Let's just keep in that praying atmosphere and sing that song.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise.
Is that your song?
For it was grace that taught my liberty.
I want to worship you, Lord Jesus. I want to worship you.
I do.
Thank you.
I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God.
To view the cross,
the blood still has power,
where Jesus died for me.
Sing that part again, the second part.
I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad for that, amen?
Thank you.
Yes. Didn't look at your fault. Don't look at your brother's fault either. Find their knee too.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Aren't you glad?
Thank you, blessed Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Dad, you know that song?
Thank you, Father.
It reaches, the blood shall never lose its power. I'm not too sure that's in the song, but I'm not there, but I don't know how easy that song is to play.
And Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Valley. strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Can we just thank the Lord for the word this morning? I'm going to have to start bringing a piece of paper when these guest ministers come up to keep up with all the things that God comes around and says again.
Amen.
And he says it again.
Amen.
And he's making sure we're trying to get what he's saying.
Because
the whole series we've been having Sunday is what? He shall be called. And if you look every time, we say, he shall be called the judge. And we watch how Paul turned around and said, the saints will judge the earth.
Right.
And that God is my witness. I was sitting there thinking about when I preached, he shall be called the attorney. And how Moses stood up as an attorney for the children of Israel. And he went on about that for a good 20 minutes. I said, praise God, I believe it.
Amen.
We can stand in the gap for our loved ones.
Amen.
There's no reason to be afraid of what's coming.
Amen.
Even for those that might be lost.
Amen.
You stand in the gap. You're the attorney.
Amen.
You've been given the power.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The only way to understand him is to understand who we are in him.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Thank
I'm just so happy.
Praise the Lord.
As we said yesterday too, you ever get away from the blood of Christ, you've left the message of the hour.
Amen.
It's one and the same. To walk in the message of the hour is to walk in the blood of Christ.
Right.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's right, Jesus.
I'm just feeling good. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good.
Amen.
I got something to praise him for.
Amen.
Amen. I'm willing to vocalize it too once in a while.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know. I am blessed. Let's sing that. I am blessed. Key of F-Dad. 186.
Amen.
If you want to use the songbook, that's all right. We're going to stay in worship a little while.
Amen.
I ain't got quite my full yet. I want to praise the Lord a little while here.
Oh, thank you.
I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed.
Glory to God.
When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, well, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Come on, church, let's praise this.
Yes, I am blessed. Hallelujah. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, well, I am blessed.
Let's give him a clap offering. Let's go. Let's clap off. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, one more time now with all our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing us.
I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And we didn't miss out on our series this Sunday either.
Amen.
I got a title for it, and he shall be called the known God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He ain't unknown. He's our Father.
Amen.
He's our husband. He sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm just feeling good. Everybody feeling good?
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I just don't know where to go right now.
Wherever I go, I'll praise the Lord. wherever I am, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea.
Back there on the same page.
Oh, I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus has lifted me. Oh, yes. Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'm gonna lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus has lifted me.
One more time, let's worship Him.
Wherever I go,
we're gonna praise Him.
I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus has lifted me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, worship the Lord.
As we get ready to go, I just want to say I'm feeling blessed in the Lord this morning. I really appreciate that message. Pray it speaks to our hearts. Pray that every one of us can walk out of here bolder in the faith than we were before we got in here. Amen. To recognize that we are part of His gene seed. And that he's waiting on us, church. He's waiting on us. Let's sing 109 together. 109. So we get ready to go. Let's give the Lord a little bit more worship that I believe He's due.
Thank you, Jesus.
He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone.